Mr. Rose, reel 5.
And your first ship was the Irresistible, as second class stoker?
That's right, the old battleship. She went down in the Dardanelles in 1940. 15, I think she went down, 15. She was laying there bombarding, and then I think one of the mines floated down and walloped her. I think that's how she went down, I don't know.
And you were a trimmer in her, though, your first experience?
Well, you always get that, all second class tokers, trimmers, in those days, of course.
What was the trimmers work like in these big ships?
Very hard work. Very hard work, as I said. The 200-weight skids, what they call skids, made of steel. I don't know, they weigh about 200 or 300 weight themselves, empty. They got to be heavy, otherwise, of course, a ship rolls and pitches there, would slide all over the place. And it's like, for instance, a baby's pram, double-ended baby's pram, with two runners on the bottom, like runners on sleighs in the snow, and therefore running over the plates or even in the bunkers here. And you fill them up, they hold approximately about 200 weight coal, and you, if you're feeding four boilers, you're continuously on the go until your watch is finished. And you tally up every skid that comes out. There's bunkers either side of the stoke hole, so you'd have two men, these are the second class stokers, two men working on that side, two men working on that side, and they supply the two boilers each, and they've each boiler's got four furnaces, so you can guess how much coal they use. I did remember once I'd taken a tally of how much we burnt in the course of a watch, quite a lot, of a few tons. Well, we used to coal about, on the Irresistible, we used to take in 1,800, I think it was, our complement of coal. It used to take us 2 days to get that lot in. And then in about a week or 10 days, you burnt the lot.
So you were moving quite a lot from the watch?
Yes. So you handled that coal twice. Once when you trimmed the bunkers, and once when you burnt it.
And as the coal went down in the bunkers, so you had to go further in.
That's it. And the old Irresistible class of warship, their bunkers went right to the stern of the ship. Normally, they're only amidships, more like armour on both sides of the ship. The bunkers become a sort of secondary armour. But on the Irresistible, they went right to the back of the ship. You see, that type of battleship, I wish I had a photo. I did have one of her some years ago, and I don't know, I gave it away to someone. And they got what they call torpedo nets. Have you heard of them? And she had all the way around the ship when they were put out. If you can see some pictures of the old battleships, you see these arms sticking all on either side. And probably once or twice a week, they'd out nets. And everyone up on deck, and all these nets are pulled out all the way around. Well, the arms are pulled out, the nets, of course, unfold and drop down. I don't think they're very effective. Well, they proved it in the First World War that torpedo nets were... Anyway, they went right to the back of the ship, you see. So the bunkers went right to the back of the ship. And the back of the ship was, I couldn't say the distance exactly, but it was quite a long while inside the bunkers. And you eventually finished up what we used to call a railway. A platform about that wide with side pieces up, platform. And you walked your trolley, your skid I should say, along this railway. One of you pulling on the rope, and just say, same as down in the mines, over your shoulder. And the other one coming up behind, pushing the skid. I don't know which was the hardest work, filling up the skids and pushing them back into the stoke hole. By the time you got the stoke hole, emptied it in front of the boiler there, gone back to another one, that chap had used up all that. You could only get 200 weight at a time. So it was an everlasting job, and you kept on and on and on for the whole 4 hours.
From the time you came down to...
Yes, to the time you went up again. When you went up, you were in a state of nervous collapse. wet through with sweat, black as like a sweep. Anyhow, that was that life in those days. Thank the Lord when that went away.
What about the stoker's job? What about the differences?
On the boilers.
On the boilers.
Well, that was incomparably easy. The hardest work is trimming. Once you become a first-class stoker, you'll take over a boiler, see, or two boilers. As in the Irresistible, you took over two. But normally on most ships, you had one boiler, four furnaces. And that was comparatively easy. All you kept your aspects clear under the furnaces, that's four aspects. Kept your bars clear with clinker. Every now so often you put these 90-pound slots in through the furnace doors. You lift it up, shake up the fire inside, because the fire is that thick. And believe me, it's pretty hot too. Someone will open the door, their louver doors. And you take two pieces of cloth, sackcloth, because the heat travels up the slice is that big round. You can just get your hands round it. Weighs 90 pounds, right? And it's about the length of this room. And that's to go right inside the fire. And you keep lifting up the fire until your clinker eventually rises to the top. And then you've got what they call hooks. Put that inside. The rakes, I should say, not hooks. Rakes with two teeth. And you pull your clinker out. And as you pull it out, so someone with a hose is dampening it down, because red hot, see? You wear clogs. And you wear what they call, this is an old days, of course, fear not clothes. That's to throw off the heat from burning your body. But it don't, when you go to stand up straight, you wonder what the dickens is up against your leg. Red hot cloth.
What was the routine for these jobs? I mean, how would the, as you came on watch, there'd be certain things you did. Certain fires were cleaned out. One
yes.
Watch. How was
yeah.
this organised? Okay.
Well, it's a mark over the top of the fire, cleaned, see. And then as soon as you knew those four fires were cleaned, or anything like that, or that boiler was cleaned, because you invariably turned over to each other what ones had been done, see. But one boiler, or probably the furnaces are numbered, 1, 2, 3, and 4, right the way round through the boiler. In the old days, the old Irresistible, they had what they call telltale. Yes, they had telltale gear that was seemed a bit intricate, ran off the main engines, reciprocating engines, and every so often, in the stoke, up would come the indicator, fire number one. That's when they did firing, or throwing coal onto the boiler, onto the fire, in routine, whether it was to save gas, sort of time and motion effort. Kilroy, it was called, Kilroy system. And every so often this one, fire number one, see, so all, you immediately went in fire number one furnace, see, and you waited then, see, and then the next, probably another 10 minutes after, I'll become number two, fire number two. Well, that was all right, but invariably, by the time you got to number four, number one furnace was getting a bit dull. So the fire was never even. So the Kilroy system, in my opinion, wasn't a brilliant idea, but there you are, people with more brains than I got used it.
It was done from the engine room. It was operated from the
engine that did it. They did it. See, the number of revolutions, see, so many revolutions, this arm used to come out and ring the bell in the stoke holes.
Otherwise, it was the stoker himself, was it?
Well, the chief stoker in charge, or the stoker petty officer. But you, invariably, well, they knew you were experienced enough, and they left it to you. And you watch your gauges. There used to be about 300 pounds on the gauges. The stoker, chief stoker, or petty officer in charge, watched the water in the gauges. So you had two gauges on each boiler. And two, that's water gauges, and two steam gauges. So you had to keep it up 250 or 300, whatever it was set at. And if the steam fell below, that which it very often did, but especially with this Kilroy system, there the old engine room gong going there, speak on the tube, the old voice pipe, and either you use a few adjectives there that he wasn't getting the correct steam in the engine room, slowing the main engines up. You see, when a line of ships, they're set on a speed, you must exactly, you daren't drop. See, otherwise, if you start to go and slow the one behind you, he's doing too funny when he's coming up closer to you each time. So you must keep the exact speed. And that is done more or less for the keeping the steam in the boilers.
And by and large, the human touch was better.
Exactly. Yes, as I said, the Kilroy system, to my idea, was a failure. And it wasn't used a lot. I've seen it used quite a number of times, I know, but not generally. Generally, it was left to your own devices.
And your aim was to keep the steam on the blower.
Exactly.
And above.
Yes.
And you could use any way, within broad terms, for doing that, for arranging how you...
Exactly. Yeah, it left to the stoker in charge. If he got one or two boilers there, he knew that he got to keep that certain amount of steam.
And what sort of fire were you looking for in the stokehold, in the furnaces? What were you aiming to do, in fact, at the furnace level?
How do you mean the...
You were trying to get a certain kind of fire, and you're trying to keep one fire clean and circulate.
You've got underneath each of the furnaces, there's four furnaces in a boiler. You've got to remember that the size of a boiler is as big as that room. See, so you've got four furnaces. You can just try and visualise the four furnaces. There's all one big one inside, just about the size of this room, see. And the four doors are for firing up on, see. So what you've got to do every so often is in rake and keep the whole lot level. Otherwise you'll have one side of the boiler, tubes are going up like that, see, up to the main barrel at the top. Barrel down the bottom, tubes are going up to the big barrel, main barrel at the top. So you have this side or whichever one, that side of the tubes doing all the work, and this side swinging the lid because your fire's not running. And another thing, you didn't get a hole in your fire, so you must keep a certain thickness because night time, with the fan going, into the bottom of the boiler, and the fans are going very hard all the time. As I told you, they make the plates of the stove like silver, sandblasting them, and so that was coal dust blasting them. And if you got holes in the fire, in the furnace fires there, you'd have sparks coming out of the funnels. And that's fatal in wartime. An enemy submarine or another ship that could easily detect these sparks coming out. So you always got to keep an even fire. So that's pretty hard work too, normally.
And what about getting the ashes out? And how?
Yes, ashes, in the old ship, the old irresistible type of ship, they went up a chute about 40, 50 feet chute, and they were pulled up by hand from down below. But in the more modern ships, when I went to the Birmingham there, we had electric drum at the bottom, see, and they were always set up by electric.
Ejector.
Right. And then they had ejectors in the stokehold, big hoppers about the size of that, with the grills over the top. The ashes are emptied in. The pump is set in motion. The outlet is at the bottom of the hopper. Terrific pressure of water. See, the ashes fall in, is carried up a U-tube out over the side of the ship. And you must have it in the U-tube, otherwise when the ship rolled and went underwater, there you'd have sinking off your ship. So this, and some of the more modern ships had a valve that closed it when the ship went over and that closed it. But that's what we did in the Birmingham.
It was hard work.